WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's going on, beautiful people? Oh my goodness, it's already Wednesday. Can you believe that? Yep, it's hump day, folks, and this means that it is a day before the NCAA tournament officially starts. There's still play-in games going on, but it will officially start tomorrow, folks. Yet, let the madness begin. My goodness, I can't wait for it. And you know what? On today's show, it's going to be a special show because we are going to be breaking down the bracket region by region and giving you our thoughts and predictions on who is going to make it out the South, West, East, and Midwest. So it should be a very, very interesting show to see the variances of opinions when it comes to, you know, all of us here on the show. And if you want to call in and give your thoughts on who you think is going to make it to the Final Four, do so by picking up that phone and giving us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, that is 517-355-9527. And it's Wednesday, and on today's Barbershop Wednesday segment, folks, if you've been looking at the national media on ESPN, Yahoo, all of the college basketball experts, hey, even the most powerful man in the free world has Michigan State going all the way and raising the national title trophy out in Arlington, Texas, in conclusion of this NCAA tournament bracket. Can you believe that? I mean, just about everywhere you look. I mean, MSU. I mean, MSU is even on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Gary Harris and fans surrounding him. I mean, everywhere you look, everybody's talking about Tom Izzo and the Spartans. They even had a cool sport. I don't know if you guys saw this. A cool sports science. If you know what sports science is, ESPN does a kind of a cool thing where they explore different athletes and compare their skills and what they can do and break it down scientifically. So they decided to break down Tom Izzo. And they had him swallow this sensor, right? And they monitored his heart rate, his adrenaline levels, throughout an entire game, and even his walking distance, as he, you know, Tom Izzo always paces the sidelines back and forth, and they found that Tom actually walks over a mile during the course of one game. Can you believe that? Cool stuff. But yeah, they had a feature on Tom Izzo, and Tom Izzo and the Michigan State basketball team, they are the talk of the nation right now. Again, Barack Obama, yesterday he showed that he had MSU going to the Final Four, and this morning he revealed that he has Michigan State winning the entire thing. So, my goodness, everywhere you look, everybody's talking about Michigan State basketball, folks. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Again, we're going to be breaking down the bracket later on in today's show, region by region. Call in and give us your thoughts and give us your predictions on it. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Okay, people, again, I know that everyone is buzzing with March Madness on the mind. Now, I'm honest in admitting that it's one of my favorite times of the year. I love it just for March Madness, for that matter alone. College basketball, it's great. In March, I wake up hearing basketball dribble and sneakers squeak on the hardwood. But, folks, there is another sport that is beginning to catch its stride. Baseball. Yes, and on today's Current Sports, I have the privilege of welcoming head baseball coach of the Michigan State baseball team, Jake Boss Jr. Jake, how you doing, brother? Thanks for joining me today.
I'm doing great, Al. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No problem, my man. Now, Jake, you know, looking at your guys' season, because a lot of people, I mean, with all of the March Madness craziness that's going on right now, Jake, baseball's kind of, you know, not been talked about a lot. But we're going to do that on today's show and talk about your team. Now, you all have played 17 games so far this season, have a 9-8 record, and will be starting up Big Ten play in 2 days, weather permitting, against Ohio State. Now, how is the team looking right now, Jake?
Well, Al, I'll tell you, I mean, we've shown signs of greatness really at times, and we've struggled at times. So it's been a lot of ups and downs right now early on, and I think a lot of that can be, you know, attributed to practicing inside, and it's tough to replicate true game situation, but when you're stuck inside. But you know, it is what it is, and it's what we've got to deal with. And our guys are used to it, so it's not really that much of an excuse, I don't think. But we're still kind of waiting to hit our stride here. We we're capable of some good things. We've got some big wins already this year against the number one team in the country in Oregon State, and won a series at TCU and played real well. And so, this team is very capable, and we're just, like I said, we're waiting to hit our stride here and hopefully can develop some consistency here starting this weekend.
Yeah, and you talk about that consistency and playing indoors all the time. We're practicing indoors all the time, Jake. I mean, the weather is so unpredictable. I'm pulling my hair out because, last week was about 50 degrees, and then now it's raining. I mean, sometimes it's below, zero some days here in Michigan. It's ridiculous right now with the weather so unpredictable, Jake. How in the world do you stay in the moment and keep your ball club, kind of with a consistent focus?
Well, it's not easy, Alan. It's, it's tough to really develop a rhythm. I mean, I think, if you think of it in terms of maybe some other sports, I mean, you could almost compare it to, a basketball practice without a hoop, or a hockey practice without ice. And, it makes it, it certainly is not easy. But like I said, it's, our guys are primarily from the Midwest. That's where we recruit. And for that reason, guys are used to getting ready, this early. But yeah, it is, it's frustrating with the weather, and it's been just a strange year, and it's tough to get into a rhythm and tough to get into, the seeing the ball out of the hand with depth perception and things like that, makes hitting really difficult, and I think you see that in some of our offensive numbers right now. We just haven't been able to break out of it yet, and hopefully the warmer the weather that gets, the more consistent we'll become.
Let's hope so, Jake. I mean, and again, it's still early. Now, Jake, I got to ask you, because I know you and your team are certainly on a mission this year, as you all finished seventh place in the conference last season, missing the Big Ten tournament for the first time since 2010. Now, how much is that disappointment sort of fueling you in this squad this year?
Well, that still stings. It still hurts, and that was the theme all fall, and then even in the, once the winter practice started, I mean, that's something that, we'd like to, think we got a chip on our shoulder with how we play. And, it was a seventh place finish, but, really, with 2 weekends to go, we had a chance to win the Big Ten Conference, and that's how jammed up it was. And we went 500 in our last six games, and, had we won all six, we would have been conference champions. And so it was, it was a tough way to finish. It was a bitter pill to swallow. And, it's one of those things where it certainly served as motivation in the fall and in the off season workouts in the weight room and things like that. So it's, you guys are chomping at the bit, getting ready to get started here with our Big Ten season this weekend.
I can only imagine, Jake. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the head coach of the MSU baseball team, Jake Boss Jr. Now, Jake, what player or players do you think will turn some heads for your ball club this year?
Well, I tell you, we got a lot of guys back off of last year's ball club, and, it's a talented group. I mean, if you look at our outfield, all three of those guys are back, and Jimmy Pickens, who's a junior, is our right fielder, who had a great year for us last year. Center fielder Anthony Checkey is a junior as well, and then Cam Gibson, who's the son of Kirk, is our left fielder. He's a sophomore this year, and he leads off for us, and, really our shortstop is back from last year's team. Ryan Krill is our first baseman off of last year's team. Joel Fisher is a senior catcher for us. It's been a starter for 4 years now. So, on that side of the ball, we got a lot of guys back and a lot of experience. And, the guys on the mound are, maybe a little bit less experienced, but awfully talented. And Nick Van Vossen, who's our number one guy, right-handed pitcher. Justin Allman is a local kid from Holt. He's our number two. And, we've got some freshmen that are coming out of the bullpen, and Jake Lowry from Heartland and Jeff Kinley from Saginaw, who are also throwing real well. So, it's like I said, it's a group that I think is very talented. And, I think once we can get some consistency in that lineup and, just kind of get comfortable and get into a rhythm, I think good things are going to happen.
Yeah, sounds like a very well-rounded ball club. Now, I got to ask you, Jake, with this being March Madness this time of the year, when you look at the success of the programs around Michigan State Athletics, the MSU football team winning the Rose Bowl, the MSU women winning the Big Ten Championship, then the men with the Big Ten Tourney Championship in Indy this past weekend, I mean, how much does that motivate you to see that success? I mean, that's got to be unbelievable.
Well, no question. I mean, and you even go back into the fall to men's soccer and women's field hockey into the Elite Eight and, you know, things like that. I mean, it's, you know, it's a great time to be a Spartan. There's no question about it. And you got a lot of great coaches in this athletic department and a lot of tremendous resources that, you know, when we're struggling a little bit, we like to, you know, toss ideas around back and forth between people. And it's really a tight-knit group. And so, you know, success, I think, breeds success, you know. And for our guys to see basketball competing at a national level and a Rose Bowl win and things like that, I mean, I think it's something that, you know, it really boosts their morale and makes them work even a little bit harder, too. Because they want to, you know, they see their buddies getting a taste of all that success and they want a piece of it too, you know?
Right. Exactly. You know, you just kind of just alluded to it just now, Jake. I mean, when you talk about the close knitness that you guys have, you know, with Coach Izzo, D'Antonio, other coaches around MSU and the mutual admiration, you must have for one another. I mean, what do you guys say to each other and what kind of advice have you picked up from those coaches?
Well, you know, I mean, Coach Izzo has taught me a lot. He's, you know, I mean, you talk about a guy who is as influential as he is in his sport and on a national level, and you know, we'll still take time to come out to talk to our team in the fall, and you know, I've gone over there to his office a few times, and we just kind of sat and talked about different coaching things, you know, for you know, hours upon hours, really. And you know, like I said, Coach D'Antonio will come out and, you know, watch us practice here in the indoor football building and speak to our guys as well. And, you know, we bounce around to each other's offices in Jenison Fieldhouse whenever we get a chance. And it really, I mean, it really is unlike any place that I've ever worked with regard to how close and how tight this staff is, you know. And so
Right. We
all pull for each other and we're all here to help each other. And it's, like I said, it's a fun time to be a Spartan.
Gotta love that, man. That is pretty cool stuff, Jake. Now, for you and the expectations coming into this season, Jake, is anything short of a Big Ten title this season a disappointment?
Well, you know, I think our guys have taken this program to a level where, you know, that is the expectation. I think, you know, you got to credit those guys because when we got here 6 years ago, that wasn't the case. And you know, we got a taste of it in 2011 you know, it's just one of those things where, again, you can feed off of the successful football, basketball, women's basketball, you know, field hockey and soccer and, you know, cross country. And, I mean, it's there's an attitude around campus here that, you know, winning championships is the goal. And
right.
That's certainly our goal, you know, and that's goal number one, and it always will be. And then we go from there. You know, obviously we want to play in the NCAA tournament. We want to get a chance to play, you know, for a shot at going to the College World Series. And that's, for Northern School now, that's more and more of a reality after the last 2 years with some Northern schools getting Omaha. And so, you know, we've had success against those programs, and I think our guys are realizing that it's a lot closer than a lot of people think. And so, you know, when you can realize that, when you can work toward that end every day, you know, that stuff can become a reality. But, you know, you got to believe it before it can happen, and you really have to think the right way and fight through a lot of adversity, especially here in the North.
Boy, I can't wait to see you guys in action, Jake, I tell you. Now, you know, Jake, something I always wanted to ask you this, always wanted to. Now, you were actually an assistant coach at Michigan from 2005 to 2007. Now, have you now completed and converted over fully to the green and white and developed that hate for U of M, or there's still some love there?
Well, I tell you, Al, I had a, you know, I grew up here in the Lansing area. I grew up a Spartan fan, and so I can tell you, it was. I left Eastern Michigan. I was at Eastern Michigan as an assistant for 7 years, and I was offered a job at the University of Michigan as an assistant. And you know, I knew from a career perspective it was something that I needed to do. And it wasn't easy for my family, though, I'll tell you, because, you know, we've been green and white for my whole life. And so,
yeah,
we had a good 3 years there. Our ball club was pretty good and, you know, met a lot of great people and worked for a good man in Rich Maloney, who's now the head coach at Ball State University. And, you know, really enjoyed my experience there. But, you know, I don't think deep down, I don't think I ever was not green and white. And so, you know, after leaving Michigan and, you know, got the head job at Eastern Michigan, it was, it was back to green and white and, you know, in a couple ways, but, you know, never really lost that love for Michigan State. And to be able to get the head coaching job here is, you know, really a dream come true for me. I did not play here. I wasn't good enough to play here. And so to be a part of this athletic department and this, you know, really special university is truly a dream come true for me and my family.
So now you can hate Michigan right now, huh, Jake?
Well, yeah, we can.
gotta love
that.
That's
not a problem.
Right, there you go. Well, Jake, before I let you go, man, I gotta ask you, are you a big bracket guy? And if you are, who do you have going to the Final Four and eventually winning it all? I know the cliche answer is Michigan State, but are you a big bracket guy at all, Jake?
You know, I typically am, to be honest with you. I haven't looked at it a whole lot since it came out, just based on the last couple days and our schedule. But, it's tournament time, and Coach Izzo's at his best in March. And so it's certainly, it's kind of a popular pick right now, even though they're the four seed. But everybody seems to be picking the Spartans, and I'm along in that group. I think, you look at a couple of those brackets, and, obviously in tournament time, anything can happen. But, you got to like our chances, and there's some interesting matchups in some of those other brackets that I looked at my 12-year-old sons yesterday, and we argued it out over a couple different schools. But
right.
It's something that we'll be watching intently on the bus on the way down to Columbus tomorrow, and fun time of year. I mean, you can't beat that atmosphere. There's no question about it.
Not at all, Jake. And how are you guys preparing for Ohio State this week anyway?
Well, we're getting ready today. We were off yesterday. We're getting ready today and practicing indoors here with the rain and the snow. But we'll go down to Ohio State tomorrow afternoon, practice at their place tomorrow night, and, get a good night's rest, and then be ready to go for Friday.
There you have that. MSU head baseball coach Jake Boss Jr., they open up Big Ten play. Hopefully, please, weather, just open up for him, man. This Friday against Ohio State. Jake, good luck. We'll talk soon, and thanks for joining me.
Okay, thanks, Al. Appreciate you having me.
No problem. Again, Jake Boss Jr., he's a great guy, very competitive guy, and his ball club, they have a special, special ball club this year. And they look to make they're out for some revenge, folks. They did not like the way they ended last season, not making the tourney, and you better believe this year they are going to be rolling with some steam, added steam, I should say. So, all right, well, let's hit the break. When we come back, we will dive into your current sports quick hit headliners. And yes, later on, we're going to be breaking down the bracket. Yep, it's March Madness time, baby. Region by region. Call in and give us your predictions. 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to remind you all, again, Current Sports TV tapes each and every week, Wednesday night at 6 p.m. And hey, yeah, today's Wednesday. So we record tonight. Dwayne Herring, the head coach of the Grand Ledge Girls Gymnastics team. Now, if you haven't heard about the Grand Ledge Girls Gymnastics team, you had to be living under a rock, because they are just one of the best high school programs this state and possibly nation has ever seen. I mean, they actually just ended a triple-digit winning streak. I believe 106 straight meets, folks. Unbelievable. It just ended, sadly. But, one of the longest active streak in girls gymnastics in this entire state. Dwayne will be joining me tonight along with his team to talk about it, the incredible magic ride that they have been on. And also, you'll get to see footage from Current Sports when we went down and shot everything Big Ten tourney. That's right. You get to see MSU celebration, hear from Tom Izzo, Keith Appling, Denzel Valentine. I mean, I could go on and on and on, even from Nick Stauskas. Yeah, I mean, you get to hear all of that and how MSU is preparing to move on now into the NCAA tournament. And you don't want to miss that. Again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience tonight at 6 p.m., record live at the WKAR-TV studios. Do so by simply signing up online for free at WKAR.org. And also, I want to mention, kind of a mystery mention here, that on tomorrow's Current Sports Show, from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, just like every weekday here on the show, we will be giving away a very special prize. That's right, to those who it's Pledge Week here at WKAR Radio. For those who pledge $75 or more, you will get a special prize from the Current Sports crew here, and we will release what that prize is tomorrow. So you got to tune in tomorrow to see how you can get that. Again, that's tomorrow at 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, the first 15 callers who call in and pledge $75 or more will receive that prize. So a little bit of competition there. I'm just saying. All right, ladies and gents. Well, let's dive right into the show again. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this March 19th, 2014. Well, one of the final seats on the MSU bandwagon has been filled by America's most well-known basketball junkie. Yes, Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, folks. Now, President Obama picked the Spartans to take home the title in his annual Bracketology segment with ESPN's Andy Katz. Now, Obama selected Michigan State, Florida, Arizona, and Louisville to make the Final Four. Now, while the president hasn't picked a title winner since North Carolina in 2009, he did predict Louisville making the title game last season, so it's not a definite kiss of death. So there you have that again. He predict MSU to win the whole thing, folks. And on today's Barbershop Wednesday segment, we will be talking about the attention that this MSU basketball team is getting, and is it good for Tom Izzo and company heading into the tourney? If you want to call in and give your thoughts on it, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And speaking of Tom Izzo and company and more MSU-related hype, ESPN ranked this year's NCAA tourney coaches, and Tom Izzo found himself in familiar territory at the top. Now, Izzo ranked second behind only Duke's Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski. Rick Pitino finished third, Billy Donovan fourth, and Bill Self rounding out your top five. Now, Izzo's six Final Four appearances make him the highest-ranking Big Ten coach, with John Beilein sixth, Thad Matta ninth, and Bo Ryan 14th, and Tim Miles 25th. So there you have that. Just Izzo, Spartans. I mean, that's what you've been hearing this entire week. So, all right, and MSU junior gymnast Alina Cartwright has been voted all Big Ten first team, according to the conference office. Now, Cartwright is the first Spartan to earn the honors since Nicole Curler in 2010. Now, she won the all-around crown in three meets this season and placed fourth at the Big Ten quad meet last season. She and the rest of the Spartans will travel to State College for the Big Ten Championships on March 22nd. And, folks, if you were at this game, I would love for you to call in and just describe how the atmosphere was during and after this one, because it was one incredible game. I saw the highlights on last night's news. The magic for the PW Pirates, the Pouamo Westphalia Pirates boys basketball team, keeps on keeping on. The Pirates trailed by 7 points inside the final minute of play and worked another miracle, ending the game with an 8-1 run in the final 27.6 seconds to advance to the Class C state semis with a stunning 42-41 win over Flint Beecher last night. Now, PW will face Muskegon Heights in the state semis at the Breslin Center during our show at 1 o'clock tomorrow for the right to play for the Class C championship on Saturday. Afterwards, Luke Pohl, who has been on the show before, such a great guy, he said afterwards, quote, "My guys don't quit. Against tremendous pressure, they kept going at it. This is unbelievable. In this type of atmosphere, I just couldn't be happier." How about that? Luke Pohl, so deserving of this, too. Now, Nick Spitzley, he's a stud, led all scorers with 18 points for the Pirates, including the last two of the game, stealing the ball immediately off an inbounds pass and laying in for the winning points with 5 ticks on the clock. My goodness, if you were at that game, I just want to hear from you. Just tell me how the atmosphere was. It looked absolutely bananas on television, okay? 517-355-9527. Congrats to Luke. Wish them luck going forward tomorrow. All right, Lansing United, Lansing's now minor league soccer team, announced the signings of 4 players for the upcoming season. Now, Ryan Keener, Zach Bennett, Tim Kreutz, and Greg Timmer will be a part of the Lansing United's inaugural team. Now, Keener, Bennett, Kreutz, they were all key contributors last season for Michigan State soccer team, helping the Spartans reach the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. Timmer is joining the Western Michigan Broncos after being named the 2013-14 Junior College National Player of the Year. So some big signings there for Lansing United. And Michigan State, again, Alina Cartwright, she's named first team. The Wings, they topped the Maple Leafs yesterday. The Detroit Red Wings edged out their longtime historic rival, the Toronto Maple Leafs, 3-2 on Tuesday night. Jimmy Howard had 31 saves in the net. Gustav Nyquist, he had 2 goals for the Wings. Tiger Woods has withdrawn from the Arnold Palmer Invitational due to a bad back. And this is kind of ironic. I'm drinking an Arnold Palmer half and half right now. Okay, besides the point, Woods said on his website, quote, "I called Arnold today to tell him that sadly I won't be able to play. Back spasms and the pain haven't subsided. It's too early to know about the Masters, and I will continue to be evaluated and work closely with my doctors. I feel badly that I won't be able to play in this great tournament this week." Now, Tiger won the tournament a year ago at Bay Hill for the eighth time in his career. And this is a feel-good story here, folks. And I actually have video of this. His name is Ryan Nedwetsky. I believe that's how you say it. Ryan Nedwetsky, folks, he's 81 years old and bowled a perfect game. A perfect game. Bowled a perfect game at 81 years old for the first time in his life, scoring a 300. Oh, my, that's unbelievable stuff. Again, the video, if you want to check out the video, it's on yahoosports.com. Ray, I mean, he was as cool as the other side of the pillow once he had the final strike and just went to his boys, pounded them, and said, "Yeah, this is what I do, baby." 81 years old, man. 81 years old bowling a perfect game. Wow, that's amazing. That made my day when I heard that story. Okay, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you know that number, 517-355-9527. Again, that is 517-355-9527. And share anything that's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. So, folks, all right, well, it's Wednesday. And each and every Wednesday here on Current Sports, we like to tackle a topic that is, a debatable one that we can go back and forth about, because, you know, the reason why we call it Barbershop Wednesday is because every time you go and try to get a fly cut, everybody is debating about, everybody thinks they're like Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. Everybody's a sports expert, okay? And we're bringing that segment each and every Wednesday for you here. And today's topic is centered on the MSU men's basketball team. Again, the hype is through the roof for the Spartans. And it's such a contrast to see how this MSU team ended the season and how they entered the tourney. There were a lot of doubts. I was one of those doubters saying, I don't know, I'm not confident with MSU, you know, in this final postseason, because they have no momentum. And then momentum goes out the window, and they win three straight to take home the Big Ten title in Indy. How about that? So, they've gotten a lot of hype. Even President Barack Obama, I mean, he chose MSU to win the whole thing. Experts like Jay Billis, Dick Vitale, I mean, they all have MSU not only going to the Final Four, but winning the entire enchilada. How about that? So, then you, if you saw Izzo's sports science yesterday, that was pretty cool stuff. I mean, everywhere you go, MSU is being talked about right now. So we're going to debate about it. Is the hype surrounding the MSU men's basketball team a good thing heading into the tournament? Well, right now joining me is Matt Lutke, production assistant, Alex Sharp, production assistant, and we have a new guest joining us here on today's Current Sports. He is making his radio debut. If you don't know, I know I've mentioned it before, but we have a group of fantastic sports journalism students who work day in and day out here for the Current Sports radio show. I'm going to let the brother introduce himself.
How's it going? My name is Omar Thabit. As he mentioned, I'm a student here at Michigan State University. I'm a senior, and I'm just trying to win this billion-dollar bracket. That's about it, pretty much.
I think we all are, Omar. Omar, he's doing a fantastic job. Again, you're a senior, and you're trying to go into sports broadcasting yourself, right,
yep,
right, Omar?
That's the plan. I'm trying to go into sports broadcasting and, you know, hope we get a career out of that, you know, because it's the passion, and that's what I want to do and things like that.
Hopefully. Gotta love that. Thanks a lot, Omar, for joining us again. Matt and Alex, how you guys doing, man? Happy hump day. Happy hump day, guys.
I'm good. I'm good, but I'm just stressed out.
Are you?
The brackets are stressing me out. It's that time of year, and you know, the Wednesday before the real tournament starts, it's always a stressful time.
How many are you doing?
I have no idea. I feel like I'm going to try and limit myself to under like five, but I know it's going to be, you know, 1:30 tonight, and I'll be filling out my 15th bracket, and it's just going to be bad.
It is. I'm the same way, man. I always say four or five maybe. I filled out 10 last year. 10 brackets last year, guys, with different scenarios. I won $200 last year.
In one of them, maybe, right?
In one of them, I won $200.
So yeah. I'd like to start the show by saying, maybe Omar here has the secrets to the billion-dollar bracket, but
we'll see.
You definitely can't fill out 10. Definitely can't fill out 10 brackets.
I do that all the time. I think with Yahoo, with the whole $1 billion bracket challenge, you can only fill out, like Matt alluded to. If there was like an unlimited number, that'd be cheating, man. Right. You can only fill out one bracket,
which is what I was getting to. So all the listeners out there, if you're thinking about sitting at home for a couple hours and filling out hundreds and hundreds of brackets, guess what? You can't.
I'll still be doing that, though. I do that every year. All right, guys. Well, first off, before we break down the bracket region by region, guys, I want to ask you because, I mean, you guys have seen it. It was a pretty cool feature on Time Izzo yesterday, and it was not only an ESPN sports science feature, but they actually linked up with Nightline, and it aired 12:30 last night, and they kind of broke down and, you know, the stress that a coach goes through in the NCAA tournament. Time Izzo swallowed a pill sensor that monitored his heart rate, his adrenaline levels. They even measured how far the man walked on the sidelines and saw that Izzo had walked throughout, I think it was the Illinois game they did this. He walked over a mile throughout the entire game. I mean, it was a very cool feature. And as you see on Sports Illustrated, Gary Harris is featured on the cover with fans in back of him. A few students that I know, actually. It's funny because Mateen Cleaves is in the back holding up the one. Mateen's everywhere. And then all the experts choosing MSU to win the whole thing. The question that we're diving into right now is, the hype surrounding the MSU men's basketball team a good thing? If you want to call in and weigh in on it, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. I guess, guys, I'll kick it off. For me, when I look at all this hype surrounded by MSU, the experts left and right choosing MSU to win the whole thing, for me, it's all about the makeup of this team. You talk about a senior-laden team with guys like Keith Appling, with guys like Adrian Payne. You talk about a veteran coach who's been here before in Tom Izzo. I think they can handle the pressure. The question is, though, if they will. Because we saw at the beginning of the season how this worked out, right? They entered the season as the preseason number one. They looked great to start the season. I mean, they looked good. But eventually injuries kicked in and other factors, and they kind of trickled off. Historically, Izzo doesn't like the attention. Izzo like kind of, you know, got the blue collar type of effort. I mean, he said yesterday, I mentioned the quote yesterday that he had during his presser. He's afraid that this team has suddenly went from the ugly duckling to the prom queen. So it's definitely a concern when it comes to Tom Izzo, but it all depends on, we talked about it yesterday when Mike called in, it all depends on the mindset this team has. For me personally, being an MSU alum, I don't like the hype. I would rather be under the radar. Just kind of an even kill type of team, not have the experts choose me, because it adds added pressure on a team that already, even though they had a great run in the Big Ten tourney, this is now for all the marbles here.
And let me ask you something. You being at most of the games, would you say that most of the players would like the pressure? Do you think that they like that, or you think they would prefer to be under the radar from talking to them in the locker room? What have you gotten from some of the players?
Well, you know what? Remember when we went to Media Day? I believe it was Matt that went me to Media Day. Matt, you came with me on Media Day when it just had come out that MSU was the number preseason two. Favorite, number one number in the one. Nation. Number one. And we went and asked guys like Keith Appling, guys like Denzel Valentine. I mean, do they like it? Keith came straight out and said, yeah, they like it because it shows respect. Gary Harris said the same thing. It shows that everyone around the nation is respecting them. They didn't shy away from it. So from a player perspective, I think they're eating it up right now. Yeah. The attention, as a college kid, getting that kind of attention, oh, man.
And that's the reason, aside from my own view as a fan or me myself as an alumni or alumni-to-be, I don't think it has anything to do with them being the favorite. I think they're going to take it in stride. They're going to like it, as Keith
said earlier. Do you like
earlier.
It? But do you like it?
Do I like it? No. But the more important thing is the players are fine with it. As you said, I think – aside from Izzo, he may not like it, but as long as the players are fine with it, I think that's all that matters, Al. What else can you ask for?
Matt?
That's my argument.
All right. I don't like it, but not because of the effects it has on MSU. I don't like it because of the effects it has on the opponents of MSU. Because if you are Delaware or Cincinnati or Harvard and everyone's just writing you off in the first weekend, you have no chance of making it out of the first weekend. That's that chip on the shoulder that we talk all the time about. You play with an edge because no one believes in you, and you're all of a sudden dangerous. So I think more so than MSU maybe succumbing to the pressure, I think it's going to motivate the teams in their region. Like Virginia getting slighted as a one seed, no one's picking them to come out of their region. I'd feel slighted. I'd feel angry. I'd feel motivated. So I think more so than MSU being, you know, swallowed up by the hype, I think the other schools are going to be motivated by it.
Motivated, a heightened, keen awareness that they can knock off the favorite to win this whole thing.
Exactly. And the other thing, is this really surprising? I mean, if you go back to the beginning of the season, MSU is preseason number one or two. Mm-hmm. The other team in that discussion is Kentucky, who the wheels fell off on them a while ago. They're an eight seed. They barely make the tournament. All year, MSU struggles with the injuries. Mm-hmm. People point to that. MSU runs through the Big Ten tournament. This is the exact narrative that people had at the beginning of the year. More so than people having faith in MSU, I think the analysts just have faith in themselves. They're sticking to their guns, saying, I picked MSU at the beginning of the year. I'm going to stay with them. They look great right now. They're going to win the whole thing. I think it's more that than just MSU is the prohibitive favorite.
You know what's so, when you talk about what's surprising, for me what's so surprising is because seeing how MSU ended the season and looking at how this is completely turned around, completely, guys, before, you know, coming to that Big Ten tourney, I'm sitting there like, oh, MSU, they haven't won two games straight since January 21st. I was riding that ship all day. And just a complete 180 from opinions from everybody that's ensued due to three straight victories in the Big Ten tournament, everybody's hopped on. Some people hopped off that bandwagon, and now some people are saying, hey, I want to take it back on. Guys, really quick, before we get to you, Omar, we have a caller. Matt from right here on MSU's campus. Matt, how you doing, brother?
Good. How's it going? I just want to say shout out to Omar Thabit. You doing your thing.
Omar's the man. And that's it? That's all Matt had?
Oh, no, I just want to say that, you know, Sparty's had their ups and downs, and, you know, we face adversity, and we've come out on top, and I think we're going to be all right. We're prepared for the championship.
Matt, do you like the hype coming into this tournament for MSU? You think it's a good thing for this team?
You know, I like it and I don't, but, you know, I think we're prepared and we're ready to go.
There you have it. Got to love that. Thanks a lot, Matt, for the call.
All right, thank you.
Omar, go ahead, weigh in on it, man.
All right, so first of all, thanks for the shout-out, Matt. But I think it's just interesting overall because, again, like you mentioned, how we started the year, we had all these high expectations. We began the year 18-0. It seems like we were going to deal with it pretty well. Injuries came along. Everybody jumped off the bandwagon. And it's incredible how a couple wins in the Big Ten tournament got us back to where we started. And it's just going to be interesting to see that if we're going to produce the way we're supposed to. It just comes down to doing what we're supposed to and producing as a team. And as you mentioned, like, do I like it? Not really. You know, I'm not all about the hype and all, but do the players like it? I think they do. Like, you see them around campus. I had a few of them in my classes. They have that swag with them. You know, they love it. You know, they love that. Right. They love the attention. And, I mean, you know, I was for it until we started losing, and it kind of started to get me upset. But, you know, as long as they do what they're supposed to do, then, I mean, I'm all for it. You know, it's all about the players and how they, like I said, it's all about how they perform.
And you know, I think that could be dangerous because, you know what, with all this attention that MSU is getting, you become an instant celebrity, not just here on MSU's campus, but everywhere you go. And sometimes that could kind of get to you as a player. I know if I'm getting all this attention, I'm on magazines and everybody's talking about me, I may get a little, that head may get a little big, Alex.
Yeah, so I think we're all in agreement here that the players are able to
the players like it.
They can mesh with it. But now I want to bring up a point about, is it too much of an overhype in general? Now,
what'd you say?
Now I want to talk about, just in general, for the whole NCAA March Madness, is there too much hype around Michigan State? Not can the players mesh with it. I just want to talk about the overall hype for a second. There was an article that came out yesterday in the Black Sheep saying that Warren Buffett has decided to cancel his billion-dollar bracket challenge because Michigan State is just not fair. They're just too dominant.
And this is the Black Sheep we're talking about.
This is the Black Sheep.
Put that in perspective.
Regardless if it's
explain
the
what
Onion,
the Black Sheep is. It's a satirical.
The Black Sheep is a
satire, yeah.
Comical MSU-oriented newspaper that, you know, makes some fun jokes. Now, anytime you're having jokes made about the hype about Michigan State, that for me does it, Al. I mean, regardless if it's true or not, you're making jokes about the hype for Michigan State on the Black Sheep. I mean, you're talking about Buffett and the unfairness of Michigan State. It's too much. I think that's
far. The Black Sheep has totally just grinded your gears with that article. I hear you.
That's the line. Satirical news publications are the line.
That's the line with Alex Sharp.
Once you cross that line, it's over.
Once it goes in the Black Sheep, it's a wrap.
Once the tabloids are jumping in, not that Black Sheep's a tabloid, But it happens with celebrities in Hollywood. Once the tabloids jump in, look at Bieber. Look at Bieber, guys. It gets too much.
So basically, Alex, what you're to try to boil what you just said there. I mean, it's becoming too much now. The attention becoming it's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
no matter
there's jokes
not even
made
sports
about it.
Related magazines are talking about it. Right,
and
right.
It has nothing to do with the they're joking about it.
Gotcha. We have another caller, real quick. Dave, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, brother.
The hype is the absolute kiss of death, in my opinion. I don't like it, but I understand it. And one of you guys made the point that, you know, the analysts picked MSU in the beginning of the year, and they want to be right. All year long, as I listen to ESPN podcasts, you had Seth Davis and Andy Katz saying that when healthy, MSU is the best team. I think Greg, what's his name? Greg Anderson, the CBS analyst.
Greg Anthony, yep.
Yeah, Anthony, I'm sorry, has said all season long, you know, when MSU is healthy, they are the best team. Once again, it would be different if Mateen Cleese was on his team. You know, somebody that could grab the team by the throat and say, follow me. Mm-hmm. They don't have that, and that scares me once again. You know, I've said before, I would like to see Gary Harris be that leader, but, you know, he's gone after this year.
Right.
Maybe someone will step up, you know, but it's going to have to be the coach that grabs them by the throat and says, follow me. Izzo wants this championship. This is one of his best opportunities, or maybe one of his last opportunities. So,
I hear you, Dave.
They have all the potential to do it. They do, you know, but they don't have that leader that will grab the team by the throat and say, let's go and let's prove them right. So we'll see. That's all I have.
Thanks a lot, Dave. I agree with Dave because, I mean, we've talked about that on the show about not having that Draymond, not having that Mateen, that guy that said, hey, you know, that vocal leader. This team doesn't have that. Let's just face the fact this team does not have that. You talk about Gary Harris. He's the best player on the hardwood, I think, for MSU. But Gary, I've always said, I mean, he's cool as a cucumber. I mean, he just goes out there, even kill, and just does his thing. As far as being vocal and getting in the guy's face, he's just that's just not his personality. Guys, real quick, Bob from DeWitt. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I agree with the last caller. The only deficiency this team has is the lack of a charismatic leader, somebody like Mateen, somebody like Skiles, who will just or Draymond Green, who will just absolutely force these guys to play their best.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you asked the question about the hype.
Yep.
I think that the major effect of it is just like I think it was Matt who said it's going to motivate their opponents
right.
to play their best. We'll see. I'm curious about when the House rebuttal, since the president picked them to win it all,
yeah.
If the House Republicans are going to pick Delaware.
I'm pretty sure
talk
I can see that.
Later, guys.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, and you talk about, you know, this team, like I said, I like the hype just because in this regard, it's kind of a catch-22 for me. Like I always say this. I like the hype because I went to MSU. I graduated from MSU. The attention they're getting, I mean, my mom is texting me left and right. My dad is like, oh, MSU's ranked, blah, blah. I have them going all the way. And I like it in that regard. It's good for the school. Good for the school. Good for the atmosphere and perception of Michigan State. But as far as that translates, as far as X's and O's go on the hardwood, there's a lot of factors that weigh in on here as far as attention goes. It adds pressure and how you, like I said, pressure either buffs pipes or it makes diamonds. We're definitely going to see what happens in this tourney.
We'll see. And how about, aside from Michigan State, are there any other teams that have been overhyped in this tournament? How about Wichita State? I would even argue that maybe they're a little bit overhyped.
I tell you
of their
what,
perfect record.
When we break down this bracket, I want to tell you something about Wichita State. But go ahead, man.
I have one more thing to say about the people talking about the fiery leader.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a bit overblown. Because if
you
go back, look at Michigan State's Final Four runs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 99 and 2000, obviously they have Mateen Cleaves that totally checks out. 2001, they have guys like Charlie Bell, who wasn't so much fiery, but he was still passionate. He was still a Flintstone. They still had that same mentality. Then you go into 2005, who was the unquestioned leader of that team? Silence. Nobody. Nobody knows because they had so many guys who fit that, you know, didn't quite fit that mold, but they came together and played well as a team. 2009 and 10, Draymond Green on the team, yes, but he is a freshman and sophomore. By the time he got to be an upperclassman, by the time they got to his junior season, they implode in 2011. When he's a senior in 2012, they're in one seed, lose to Louisville in the Sweet 16. I think you don't absolutely need it. I understand what people are saying, but I think it's a little bit overrated. You don't need that, that one guy.
This is where I have to go barbershop on you here.
Okay.
I think that I can see where you're going. I can see where you're going with it. But it all depends on that team and how they're made up. The personality, I will say that. Because sometimes I think this team, sometimes, the way they come out so, we saw those games that they just laid eggs in. They needed that type of guy, I think, to get in their butts and say, wake up. Other teams in the past didn't need that. I mean, they came, they brought it every game. This team sometimes just has a tendency to kind of check out mentally and kind of needs that safeguard, that player to say, yo, what are we doing? Let's get it together. And they don't have that. And we've seen them lose games in that regard, to that degree.
I guess I can see that, but at the same time, it's like in 2005, the narrative of that team was that that senior class was going to go out losers. Mm. And that their legacy was already written in stone. And people wrote them off. They were a 5 seed in a tough bracket. They beat Duke and Kentucky to get to the Final Four. And all of a sudden, the narrative changes. And we look back at that team fondly and remember Allen Anderson and Chris Hill and Mo Agar and Shannon Brown and all those guys, but when they were there, they were scrutinized constantly all during that whole season because they didn't win the Big Ten. Illinois did.
Yeah, I mean, Illinois won it that year. Yeah, but I'm just saying, looking at this team this year and looking at just how they've lost games, Matt, they need a guy to get in their butt sometimes. And Izzo is trying to compensate it for that, not having that player to get. This is why I think we've seen an Izzo. I've said this too. I mean, I've seen Izzo mad. But there's been moments throughout this season where I've seen him turn it up to another level. I mean, we saw him grab Denzel Valentine's jersey. I mean, really just go in on him. And he's trying to compensate for not having that player that helps in that regard. You know what I mean? And this team just that the personality of this team sometimes, I think, needs that type of guy.
I understand what you're saying. I think more so than being a vocal leader, they need someone to take the ball in the final 2 minutes and say, I'm going to win this game. And it with their play. It might be Gary.
And Gary Harris is supposed to be that
guy. At the beginning of the year, though, it was Keith Appling.
Right.
So I think if Keith Appling comes back and he plays well in the tournament, I think that's the only kind of, you know, step in leadership that they need. They need somebody to take the ball in the final 2 minutes, you know, clear out.
And Gary's starting to be that guy.
I was going to get to that, guys. Is Gary even getting to be that guy? Does Izzo,
I'm still not convinced.
In the Big Ten tournament, when they played Michigan, Gary Harris, there was another minute left. I think you remember this play, Al, and a lot of listeners do. Gary Harris, the clock was winding down. He took the ball, did like a spin move, and drove all the way to the basket and did like a reverse dunk to end the half.
Oh, yeah. That was nice. That was pretty.
And I know a lot of listeners remember at home, and Izzo on the sideline goes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep, I remember that.
So that example alone, maybe Izzo wants Gary to be that guy since Keith is a little bit in.
Oh, he does. Remember, Izzo said that Gary is that type of guy to take over games. He wants. He said. I mean, that's a direct quote from Izzo.
But like Matt said, does he have the leadership potential that Keith has?
I'm not convinced yet.
Looks like Omar has.
Omar.
No, what I was gonna say was I didn't mean to get off your guys' topic, but just staying on that little the hypeness. I know. Let's keep it local here. A lot of the basketball players as well, they are really good friends with the football players. And you know, we all know what the football team brought home to MSU this year. You know, they brought us back the Rose Bowl championship. And so, like, they kind of have this certain competitiveness where, like, who kind of runs this campus now? Because right now the football team is, you know, their chests out and everything. And the basketball players have a lot to prove. And like I said, they're really cool. And so, you know, you kind of have that inner competitiveness. And when they won the Rose Bowl championship, I thought that was huge for our basketball team. Because now they also have something to prove as well. And it's just kind of like a personal thing, and like with yourself kind of thing. And
it's a good point. That's a very good point.
And I think for next week, to close out, guys, would you give up a Rose Bowl for a championship in the NCAA?
Oh, I'm greedy. I'm keeping them both. We'll hit the break. When we come back, we will dive into the bracket now, guys. We only got about 10 minutes left, so we'll give you our thoughts and predictions on who we think is going all the way. And you can do so by calling 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. All right, guys, we got about 9 minutes left in the show. We're gonna try to kind of speed through this right now. Again, I do about 58 brackets every single year, but I have one specially made just for Current Sports. I'm gonna go on record. It's gonna be part of our pick'ems. And kind of break. We're not gonna go game. It's too many games, but we'll just go region by region, and We'll do Sweet 16. Who do we have in the Sweet 16 in each region? And go from there. So I guess I'll start off, guys. In the South region, I'm going with Florida, VCU, Cuse, and Kansas. Matt?
I'm going to go Florida, Stephen F. Austin, Syracuse, and New Mexico.
Oh, Stephen F. Austin. Okay.
I think the South is going to absolutely blow up. They have a 28-game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
I think VCU, I think their time has come and gone. I think if you can break that press, they're very vulnerable, and I think Stephen F. Austin's going to do that. And as far as them beating UCLA,
yeah,
actually, I have them beating
UCLA.
Tulsa, because I think Steve Alford is a terrible big-time coach, and I don't think they're going to do anything. I think they made their season in the Pac-12 tournament.
Alex?
I have Florida, Oklahoma State, Michigan State, and Duke.
Omar?
I have Florida, VCU, Syracuse, and New Mexico.
Oh, we're almost the same there. I have Kansas in that last spot. Okay, we'll go east. Memphis, Michigan State, North Carolina, and UConn for me. Matt?
Virginia, Michigan State, Iowa State, and Villanova.
I really like Iowa State a lot. I almost had Iowa State beating NC, but go ahead.
We're doing the Sweet 16 by region. I just gave my Final Four.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how you have Oklahoma State in the Sweet 16 from the South region.
We'll go east, third round in the east.
Third round in the east?
Yeah.
Why don't you come back to me on that? I'm going to take a look.
You haven't filled out your...
Oh, no, I have my bracket.
Okay. Omar?
I got Virginia, Michigan State, UNC, and Connecticut. Got to go with Shabazz Napier. Got to ride with him.
I like him a lot.
So it's funny. I don't know if you guys heard about this. At the start, I had Providence in my Sweet 16 in the east. However, 2 hours ago, there was a report that came out that Providence basketball players are linked to a sexual assault case by a female student. So
this just came out.
Yeah, I mean, my bracket, I already picked Providence, but I might have to change that to UNC
just for that
now.
Reason. Oh,
I mean, yeah.
That's big.
That's
man. I didn't know that.
That's
wow.
Big news. I have Virginia, Michigan State. I'm going to say North Carolina now, and I have Nova.
Okay, we'll go west. I'm looking at, in the regional semifinals, Oklahoma State, San Diego State, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. I have a Big Ten matchup there. Matt?
All right, I have Arizona, Oklahoma, Baylor, and Wisconsin.
Alex.
Yep, I got Baylor, Wisconsin. Baylor, Oregon, Zona, and OK State.
I got OK State, San Diego State, Creighton, and Wisconsin.
We're almost the same there. Okay, we're kind of thinking alike here, Omar. I'm kind of different with Alex and Matt on a few of these. Okay, in the Midwest, Wichita State, Louisville, Duke, and Michigan.
Yeah, I have the same thing.
You do?
Alex? I have Kentucky, Louisville, Duke, and Michigan.
So you got Kentucky knocking off Wichita State.
I do.
Same thing as you with the same top four teams.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, let's stay in that region. Let's hop to the next round. I think Wichita State beats Louisville. I'm going with Duke also in the Midwest. So Wichita State and Duke in the Midwest for me.
I'm taking the exact same thing, Wichita State and Duke.
Okay, Alex?
Yeah, I'm taking Kentucky and Duke.
I'm going to take Louisville and Duke. I think Kentucky's going to take a lot out of Wichita State by the time they meet Louisville.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
I hear you. All right, east. I'm going with Michigan State and North Carolina.
I'm taking Michigan State and Villanova.
I'm going to go the same as Matt.
Okay.
Michigan State, North Carolina.
There you go. All right. South, Florida, Kansas.
Florida and Syracuse.
Yeah, I got Florida, Cuse as well.
Florida, New Mexico. I love New Mexico's big men. I'm all about the big men.
So there was your sleeper there. Okay, New Mexico. All right, guys. Final four. Florida, MSU, OK State, and Wichita State.
I have Florida, Arizona, Wichita State, and Michigan State.
So Matt, you believe in this Wichita State team a little bit.
I do.
I
well,
do too.
Originally, I actually filled this out just before the show, and I had the exact same Final Four as Barack Obama.
Oh, did you? Oh,
I thought there's no way that's gonna happen. So I had to change it up a little bit.
Okay,
we're all pretty similar. I have Florida, MSU, Oklahoma State like you, Al, but okay. I have Duke in the bottom.
You got Duke. So you Duke got Duke
is,
going.
I think the Duke.
Do you have a Duke Michigan matchup in your bracket?
I do.
You do. Okay, Omar.
I have Florida, MSU, Louisville, and Creighton.
And Creighton.
I'm going with the father son combination to the Final Four. Man.
Dig that. Dig that, my brother. Okay, in the finals, I'm going with Florida and OK State. I got Florida beating MSU. I know. I got it. It's down, and I got Florida winning the whole thing, Matt.
I also have Florida winning the whole thing. I'm going to have them beating Wichita State in the final.
So you got Wichita State. So you're riding. You're really riding this Wichita. I believe in Wichita State, guys. I think they can make it all the way. But Alex and I, we debated before the show. They're going out early in your bracket.
With that bracket, man, I think they have such a hard time getting out of that. I think they might even lose first round. Who knows?
No, I can't. Wichita State. I think Wichita State's too good to go out in the first round.
Too much to prove, too.
They haven't played in a while. You never know.
Omar.
I'm going MSU Louisville. I'm thinking that Louisville, this is their third year in a row, so they're going to just try. But I have MSU winning it all, of course.
Of course, exactly.
Just keep the homerism going, I guess, if that's what you want to call it.
So, Alex, just finals, I got Florida winning it, Matt has Florida.
I got Florida.
Florida, MSU. Gotcha. When you talk about Wichita State, though, Alex, I think there's a lot of non-believers out there, deservingly so, because, I mean, their schedule, if you look at the toughest matchup on that schedule, the toughest game was St. Louis. But still, this team is so well put together. The chemistry that they have with one another and how they've won games have been so convincing to me. I could see them Final Four.
I think the biggest game that they have and that we're going to learn the most about them is against Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Kentucky is full of athletes.
Right.
A lot of players who are ready to go. And NBA ready, that is. So, like, that's when we're going to learn a lot about Wichita State, and maybe then we'll see, like, where they're going to go from there.
Well, according to Alex, that matchup won't even happen because you think you got to win out in the first round.
That's right.
So, all right, guys, bracketology for you. Good luck, gents. I will be filling out my – we have two playing games, I believe, tonight. Cali Powell and Texas Southern, I believe, and also Iowa and Tennessee. Real quick, you guys think Iowa or Tennessee in it? I think it's going to be a good game, tonight.
I think Iowa. Tennessee is just – I mean, both of them are kind of catch-22, but I think this is when Iowa catches fire, guys.
You're going with Iowa, Matt? Yep. Or are you going in that
I'm
one?
I'm
going
to go with Tennessee.
I'm going with Tennessee, too.
I like their balance.
Yeah.
I like – when I'm just picking a game, I like a team that isn't great at one thing and terrible at the other, and that's exactly what Iowa is. They're a great offensive team.
Right.
They are horrible defensively.
Terrible defensively, yeah.
So I think I'm going to take the more balanced Tennessee squad.
I'm going with Iowa. This is just another way of the Big Ten is going to prove to the country why we are one of the best, if not the best, conferences.
Right.
Our sixth seed will beat the number three seed in the SEC.
I think Roy goes off tonight, though. I think Roy DeMarmo has a good
game. They ended
the
year very poorly. So I think they're going to be hungry. They made the tournament. They're happy about that. Iowa.
Gotcha. All right. Well, tomorrow we'll dive into where the Weird Wings make the playoffs, guys. It's getting to that home stretch. All right. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKRE's Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic hump day. And be easy, people.